This morning, we're going to consider three R's and not the three R's that we normally think about. Please pray with me. Our dear Heavenly Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The first R is regret. Have you ever done something or said something or wished you had done something or said something? I'm sure that most of us have done that, have been aware that there was something we did that was not what it should have been. Of my own many regrets, I guess the most frequent one is that I do not control my tongue. I tend to not filter what readily comes to mind, so I speak out before thinking. Sometimes we wait too long. We have to digest what we thought about and realize this is not what should have been said. Then other times, all of a sudden, it hits us. We said things we should not have said. Words do matter. Procrastination is another one of my regrets. Certainly after I realized that there's stress in trying to make up for all the time I've lost, procrastinating when I should have been doing what I should have been doing. So regret means that we are sorry for our actions and words or our omissions, those things that we failed to do. I'm reminded of a cartoon. I don't know if some of you still read the comics. I do. Begun when I was very young. There was a cartoon that particularly caught my attention a year or so ago from Pickles. I don't know if any of you look at the comic strip or not. But these two elderly men were sitting on a bench, obviously spending their time talking with each other. And one fellow looked at the other fellow and says, "Do you have any regrets looking back over your life?" And the other one looked at him and said, "I can certainly tell you I can look back with a clear conscience." The other man said, "You were that good?" He says, "No, my memory was that bad." So I think sometimes our regrets are things that we hope to forget about or push to the back of our minds. And as time goes on, it will kind of get dim. And for some of us of advanced age, we know what this means. And maybe some of young people too. Most of us remember the story of the rich young ruler. We find it in chapter 19 of Matthew's. This young ruler had been very faithful in his faith, following all the rules laid down, certainly all of those that his faith required, but yet he felt like there was something not right. He wanted what Jesus was offering. So he had come to Jesus to talk with him. And Jesus said, "There is one thing that you lack. You have great wealth. You need to go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor." Well, you can imagine how this must have affected this young man who had a lot of money or a lot of wealth at that day. And he probably realized that, you know, I just can't give all that up, even though he really was wanting what Jesus could offer. So he turned away very sadly and left Jesus. Now, surely, looking back on what had happened, this young man experienced some regret. The story that we remember most vividly is that of Peter, as recorded in Matthew chapter 26. This was after Jesus was taken from the garden, and Peter had followed and was in the courtyard. And three times Peter denied Jesus, said he didn't know him. He declared that he would never deny Jesus. But Jesus had told him, "You will deny me three times by the time the cock crows." And Peter kept insisting, "No, Lord, I would not deny you." He said, "I would even die first before I deny you." And when the cock crowed, Peter remembered what Jesus had said. And he went away crying bitterly. That must have been a major regret. We know later that Peter was a very strong pillar of the faith, a strong Christian, a leader of the church. So regret is something that most of us face every day. Now our next R, redeemed. In the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 25, if you'd like to go back and read that, to redeem is to buy something again that has been sold by paying back the price that bought it. This was in the old law. I guess in modern terms, particularly for the younger crowd, we think about the TV ads that offer products. You know, buy this, if you're not satisfied, send it back, we'll refund the cost of the product. And of course, I've always wondered how you could send it back. They never put an address up there. Have you noticed? It's only a phone number where you can call in your order and use your credit card. But yet, the idea is that you can get back your money for what you paid for if you were dissatisfied. So that's one way of looking at redeem. We redeem coupons. We can redeem whatever it is we ordered that we're not satisfied. And I guess if we look back in the Old Testament, God was forever trying to reach his people. He was forever offering deliverance to turn to him, forget their sins. And he offered this not only to the nation Israel, which is primarily noted in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. We see that he is trying to buy back what had been lost. That is his people. He wanted his people back to him. He was offering deliverance from sin and consequences rather than merely from death or other troubles. We can think of Moses' laws as a beginning of requiring humankind to turn back to God by having some steps or some guidance. And this is probably where the Jewish nation, which is recorded in the Old Testament, thought that this would be the way to God. This was the way for salvation. All they had to do was to follow the law. Word by word, deed by deed. And so they kept trying. And of course, we know that no matter how often or how hard we try, there is no way we can keep all those laws. We're going to bound to slip up. We're bound to fail at some point. So this becomes a burden to us. Some of us try to give up, and we say, well, we don't do those bad things, but we forget there are other thoughts, small things that we do that alienate us from God. So each of us carries this burden of trying to meet the laws or the requirements, and yet we fail. And when we fail, maybe this is where hopefully regret sets in, that somehow we are faced with this fact that we can never, never do or say all that is required in order to draw close to God. So in due time, God decided to send his son to buy or purchase freedom from us. In other words, to buy back. Under the old system, blood sacrifices were given, And this wiped out all their sins. So people would go to the temple or to the synagogues and offer their sacrifices of blood animals. And this would take away their sins. But with God's intervention, so to speak, waiting in his good time, he sent Jesus as his sacrifice, a one-time offering. Whereas in the old days, you had to keep returning ever so often to the temple to offer your sacrifice. Our acceptance to God, giving of ourselves to God, is based on what Christ has done and our faith in him, and not by what we do. Does this mean we no longer have to obey God's laws? Of course not. We all know all the old laws, the Ten Commandments. We're still expected to carry them out, follow them. But if we don't trust God, there's no call to obedience. So we must trust God. And this brings us to the third R, reformed. I could have used another word there, reconcile, any other word that might come to mind. I use the word reformed because it applies mostly to us as individuals and what our response is. And this is a choice for us. God has offered us this new life, this forgiveness of our sins, and that we can move on with a new relationship with him. So when forgiveness is accepted by us, then we can enter into a new relationship with God. But we have to make the choice. We have to recognize that we have to decide to accept what God is doing for us, and that we will go further in our faith, and we will acknowledge him as our Lord. As an expression of our gratitude for this new life and this new grace, or grace that we receive through faith, we should live our lives to please God. Not to please our government, not to please other organizations, not to please our neighbors, even our family sometime, but what we do and say should be to please God, because God is the one that has given us this saving grace. So our behavior and our words, our good works, whatever we do, should renew this relationship with our God. But we should also remember, it should renew our relationship with our neighbors, with the other members of our church, with other members of the faith. John Wesley said, our faith without the good works is dead. And I think the good works without the faith in God is empty. You can do good works all your life, but that does not necessarily mean that you have a good relationship with God, or that God is behind your good works. So to go back and state again, regret means we feel sorry for those things that we've done or said, or things that we should do and fail to do. Redeemed, that we've been paid for or brought back to God through sacrifice of Christ. And to me, that's probably the hardest to think through or remember or accept. That there's nothing we can do. It is all God's doing. We just have to accept and give him the credit. And reformed, that means that we have to look at ourselves. And I don't think I said before this morning, but that sometimes I don't like to get politics into it, but we as a nation need to look at ourselves. We consider ourselves a nation under God. And just as God was speaking to the Israelites in the early days of the earth, so to speak, or the religion of the Jews, we should consider that we need to reform. And reform starts with the individual. Regardless of how you feel about organizations or your government or whatever, the reformation or the reforming is within you. That's where it starts. So we accept Christ, we accept God's offering of deliverance, and we show this by our behavior every day and by our words. So regret, redeemed, reformed.